ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, Text number 20. Please repeat. Na pradishet priyam prapya na udvijet prapya cha apriyam stira buddhi asamudaha brahmavet brahmani stitaha na pradishet priyam prapya Nodviyat prapya chapriyam stira buddhira sammudho brahmavid brahmani stitaha na prarishat priyam prapya nadvijat prapya chapriyam stira buddhira sammudho Brahmavid Brahmani Stitaha Na Prarishat Priyang Prapya Nodvijat Prapya Chapriyam Stira Buddhira Sammudho Brahmavid Brahmani Stitaha Na Prarishat Priyang Prapya Nodviyat prapya chapriyam Stira buddhira sammudho Brahmavid brahmani stitaha Na prarishat priyam prapya Nodviyat prapya chapriyam Stira buddhira sammudho Brahmavid Brahmani Stitaha Na Prarishet Priyang Prapya Nodviyat Prapya Chapriyam Stira Buddhira Sammudho Brahmavid Brahmani Stitaha Please repeat. Na Never Prarishet, rejoices. Priyam, the pleasant. Prapya, achieving. Na, does not. Udvijet, become agitated. Prapya, obtaining. Cha, also. Apriyam, the unpleasant. Stira buddhihi, self-intelligent, asamudaha, unbewildered, brahmavit, one who knows the Supreme perfectly, brahmani, in the transcendence, stitaha, situated. Translation, a person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the signs of God, is already situated in transcendence. Purport. The symptoms of the self-realized person are given herein. The first symptom is that he is not illusioned by the false identification of the body with his true self. He knows perfectly well that he is not this body, but is a fragmental portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is therefore not joyful in achieving something, nor does he lament in losing anything which is related to his body. This steadiness of mind is called sthira buddhi, or self-intelligence. He is therefore never bewildered by mistaking the gross body for the soul, nor does he accept the body as permanent and disregard the existence of the soul. This knowledge elevates him to the station of knowing the complete science of the Absolute Truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He thus knows his constitutional position perfectly well, without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization, or self-realization. Such steady consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Gnanjana Salakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Svapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupang Sakrajatang Sahagana Raghunatang Vitang Tang Sajivang Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Na pradishet priyam prapya, not vijet prapya cha priyam. Stira buddhir asammudha, asammudho brahma vid brahmani sitaha. Stita dhir muni, sometimes is also called a stita dhir, one who is situated in dhira. We also had pandita sama darshana, is Pandit is equivalent. We just read it in text 18 of this chapter. So now, let me see what we did yesterday. So now Krishna is basically describing this transcendental person. And just to go back a few purports, because Prabhupada quoted, if I remember correctly, a very important verse from Rupa Goswami, which is very appropriate for today's verse and purport. Let me see if I can find it for you. Here it is. It's in text number 11, and Rupa Goswami writes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the first part, second chapter, text 187. It said here, there are no material reactions resulting from the activities of a Krishna conscious person. Therefore, purified activities, which are generally called sat achar, can be easily performed by acting in Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami says, Iha yasha harer dashe karmana manasagira nikalasvapi avastasu jivan mukta sa uchate. So this verse you should know. Uchate means it's said, jivan mukta. It's said that the person who is ihayasha harer dashe, who is serving das, we're all called das here, hari, Krishna, who's the Das. Sometimes Das also means slave. It basically means no independence. You serve Krishna. Karmana manasa gira. With your karma, with your activities, with your mana, with your mind, and with your gira, with your speech, you serve Krishna. Nikalas apyavasta shu. I forgot what that was. I think it has to do with the intelligence. Nikalas apyavasta shu. Jivan mukta sa uchate. The bottom line is that if you act in Krishna consciousness, then you're uchate jivan mukta. You are called a liberated jiva, liberated soul within this body. This is Prabhupada's translation. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada just drives it down. We can sit down. Oh, I'm Krishna conscious, Prabhu. No, you have to serve. With his body, mind, intelligence, and words is a liberated person, even within his material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. Then it goes on. He has no false ego, for he does not believe that he is this material body or that he possesses the body. He knows that he is not his body and that his body does not belong to him. He himself belongs to Krishna, and the body too belongs to Krishna. Okay, yeah, so that is an important verse for today. So now we'll go back to text number 20. Okay. I'll just repeat it again because it's very important, because this is describing what we should become. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant, Hare Krishna, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant. So we shouldn't be happy when we achieve something pleasant, like a garland. Nor lament upon obtaining something unpleasant. The idea is that we should see everything in Krishna's service and related to Krishna and not related to us or to our body. Honor and dishonor, generally, or actually I cannot think of any case where it is not the case, is related to our body. So if somebody is honoring us, it's just honoring our body, which is temporary. And if somebody is dishonoring us, it is also to our body. Of course, sometimes with devotees, it goes a little deeper. The thing is that we have to become samadarshina. We have to become, or as it says here, asamudaha. We have to become unbewildered. So as we say in ISKCON, if some devotee gets on your case, like I remember when I first joined, not so long after that, some devotee was getting chastised by the president and one devotee here. I don't want to call any names. And then this devotee was kind of a new devotee. He was kind of talking back, yeah, but this and that. And this devotee said, don't all the time bark back like a dog. Just try to listen what, you know, the president is saying. So that is our tendency. When somebody says something to us, we kind of bark back like a dog. And I'm mainly speaking about myself, because I'm actually a dog. Chinese astrology. So I have that tendency very much. Somebody says something, I want to say something back. That is not good. We should at least, like last time in the class, in the Bhagavatam class, somebody asked a question and I cut her off. This is very bad. Yeah, it's very bad. So you shouldn't do that. Should just try to let the person finish and then wait a little bit to make sure the person is really finished, and then you can humbly reply. Of course, sometimes Prabhupada would interject people, and that is kind of what I did, but the thing is, we are not Prabhupada. And yeah, Prabhupada is on a very high level, and you know, he didn't have any ego, any false ego. So he, if you listen to his lectures, especially the beginning lectures in New York, such a compassion in his voice. So at least if I speak for myself, that compassion is kind of lacking in me and in my voice also. So it doesn't have the same effect when I interrupt someone as when Prabhupada does it. Another thing also, Prabhupada was an elderly gentleman from India. That also is a different thing. Here we are all kind of equal, you know, equal age. We're all God brothers and God sisters, or you could say God nephews and you know, God nieces, like that. So basically you're on the same level, etiquette-wise. So we have to be very careful. We have to keep that in mind, that everybody here is more or less equal. So we can't just talk to someone like he's our disciple. Prabhu, you should do this and this and that better. My realization, actually, I also do it all the time. I'm sorry. Better not to do it, I think. You can do it later when you have your disciples, and we're discussing it with Remy. Even then, be very careful, because maybe the disciple cannot take it and he or she will just break. So I remember that one devotee from the Gaudiya Math, he used to describe Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada's guru. And he said, I've got two disciples, one left hand and one right hand. They do exactly what I tell them to do. So it's very difficult to find someone and he does exactly what you want him to do. So, yeah, we the disease actually is called lording it over material nature. We want to, like Frank Sinatra saying, I did it my way. We want to do it our way. And that is not the way. Our way is not the way. We want to do it Krishna's way. Unfortunately, we are conditioned and we cannot hear what Krishna says. That is actually why we cannot hear what Srila Prabhupada says either. Well, we can read his books, but it's not the same. And we need to, I don't know, maybe we have some fight with a devotee, or you know, we don't know which service we should do, or what ashram we should take, or so many questions come up. So then we need a spiritual master who can explain things. So, because we cannot hear what Krishna says, so we have to do it Krishna's way. And there's a system called parampara. So Prabhupada was there, he initiated so many disciples, he trained them so much. Sometimes Prabhupada would go to Vrindavan or India and he would just lecture in English. And he would say, I am lecturing for you, for my disciples. So Prabhupada was really trying to train his disciples. So, and similarly, they are trying to train us. So that's the system. So they can train us, that's all right. We should be very careful not to train each other. We can help each other. That's different. That is Prabhu. That is Prabhu. How can I help you, Prabhu? That is different. That is good. I sometimes give the example of, for instance, it's maybe not the best example, but like Sherlock Holmes and Watson. Watson is like the servant of Sherlock Holmes. So he's using his intelligence. It's not that we become a servant and we shut down our brain. Oh, yes, Prabhu. We just really, with our intelligence, we try to think, how can I really help this devotee to do our service? Because we're actually preaching. So, like that. So, we use our intelligence, but at the same time, we keep reminding ourselves, I'm a spirit soul, I'm a servant of Krishna, and I'm a servant of the devotees. This is called spiritual life. Spiritual life is, I'm the servant of everybody. Even Radharani, she thinks like that. Even Krishna. Sometimes we forget. But Krishna is also a devotee. Like, I remember my Guru Maharaj, Jayapataka Swami, he was in the manor. And he was giving this long lecture about the Panihati festival. It's some special, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's a rice festival. And he was telling about that city in America that has one of the biggest airports. I forgot the name anyway. It might come to me. It doesn't matter. And he was telling that they have this huge festival there. And they have like 5 kinds or 10 kinds of rice, like one rice with salty and one rice, or 5 rice salty and 5 rice sweet. And so many, and he was telling this whole story. And then the next day, the festival was there, and you know, Jaap Zakkerman, he's quite sick. And in the breakfast, I was eating the rice, was very nice. And then later, I heard that Maharaj was very disturbed because nobody gave him any rice, and then the rice was finished. So the devotees forgot, because they were thinking Maharaj is sick and he is on a diet, and they forgot that he is a devotee. And he wants to enjoy the festival as all the other devotees. So sometimes we forget that, you know, our guru is also a devotee, and similarly that Krishna is also a devotee. Krishna likes kirtan, he likes Bhagavad Gita, he likes Bhagavatam, he likes prasadam, all these things he likes. He likes dancing, he likes plays, you know, everything devotees like, Krishna likes. He likes cows. He likes festivals. So sometimes we forget that that Krishna is also a devotee. Yeah, so we're all devotees. That was the point. We're all devotees, and we can intelligently think how we can serve each other, and under the guidance of a spiritual master and authority. Because that is another thing that we need to understand. Sometimes I tell myself, Madhu, just take it easy. You just work per hour. Because the authority might say, you have to do it like this. And you think, but if I do it like this, it's faster. The thing is, you're not making any money if you finish the job. I mean, it's good if you do it faster. The thing is, if the authority says you do it like this, then just do it like that. It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, we come to the class or whatever, and we chant Hare Krishna, and it doesn't matter. And ultimately, you also have to understand the main problem that we hear is because we are disobedient. So sometimes Krishna might send somebody to make us humble, because that is really the problem here. We're just very, I'm sorry, I at least let me speak for myself. I am very, very puffed up. And you cannot go to the spiritual world if you're very puffed up. You can go to the spiritual world if you don't know how to clean the floor. You can go to the spiritual world if you don't know how to cook. You can go to the spiritual world if you don't know anything. But you cannot go to the spiritual world if you're puffed up. So that is really the problem. So actually it doesn't matter so much. Sometimes I make a joke that all these temples and devotional service and preaching, it's all like it's a trick. It's just to trick you. It's not actually important. At the end of your life, you go to the pearly gate, as the Christians say, and then Jai and Vijay are there, or the gatekeepers, because there's different gates, and they have a list, and there's just two numbers on those lists, and those numbers have to be very high. And the first number, or actually there's three numbers. The first number is, how many times did you bow down? Prabhupada says, the more you bow down for a sannyasi or a guru, the better it is. Because it will cure that false ego that we have. And like, we had so many lives, and probably all of us, we've been this warrior, and we said, I will not bow down for anybody. We all have this mood somehow or other. So we need to bow down. This is very healthy for our false ego to smash it. Then the second number is, how many pots did you wash? And then the third number is, how many toilets did you clean? So of course it's kind of a joke, because you can clean millions of toilets and still be puffed up. The idea is that you have to become humble. And generally, when you do these three things, you become humble. Even Satchinanda Maharaj, he said that sometimes when I feel that I get a little bit puffed up, I start cleaning the toilets. In Vrindavan, if you, in the early days, when you wanted to join the 24-hour kirtan, I escaped it, I still don't know why. Then you had to clean the brahmachari toilet. And Ayendra, he was in charge, he had like special equipment for it. He had like industrial soap and brushes. And you had to give it a maha clean, like it would take you the whole day. And he would also do it. He would also, Ayendra himself would also do it many times. So that is humility, and it was kind of a samskar, kind of a initiation. If you wanted to join the 24-hour kirtan, you first had to prove yourself and clean a brahmachari toilet. So that was very, I thought that was very nice. And I still haven't cleaned the brahmachari toilet. So yeah, I should, I guess I should do it someday. Just to make up, because I never did it. And now Ayendra, he is you know, at least left our material vision. Yeah, so humility. And I was talking about that we have to be equal. If somebody chastises us, we have to breathe and try to be calm, because maybe the devotee also is disturbed. So if somebody, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it, that Prahlad Maharaj is para dukkha dukkhi. When he sees somebody suffer, then he is also suffering. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, however, is chanting, I am para dukkha sukhi and I am para sukha dukkhi. When I see somebody suffering, I get very happy. And when I see somebody happy, and we all have that, especially me, like in the morning, I have a morning, how do you say that, like a mood, morning mood. And then if, especially when I lived in ashrams, then sometimes the body, they get up very early, and they are in a very good mood. And I always would get annoyed. It's like, okay, can you just turn it down a notch, you know, just relax. So that is kind of this para sukha dukkhi. We see somebody happy and we are actually miserable and we get disturbed by that. So yeah, that is a little bit our mood. And if somebody is disturbed to us, then we have a tendency, of, at least if I speak for myself, to go like, oh, you know, a little bit, oh, I'm very relaxed. That's not the idea. The idea is to really try to calm ourselves and to, you know, make sure that the person gets calm, calmer, some other, by either listening or... Anyway, I think you get the idea. So, and it's also, it will also help you to follow this. And neither rejoice upon achieving something pleasant, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant. So obtaining something unpleasant can mean some chastisement from either an authority, or, like I said, like I'm sharing some of my realizations. That is after many years. Unfortunately, you probably will find that in Amsterdam we used to call him Bhakta Burvi, and he might come to you and say, Prabhu, you know, I don't like the way that you talk to me. And then we have the tendency to think like, you know, I'm, you know, 3 minutes more in the movement than this guy, or 3 hours, or 3 years. Who does he think he's talking to? So we should try not to do that. We should think, oh, this is Krishna. He's trying to help me. Like Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, my enemy is the one who glorifies me, and my friend is the one who chastises me. Of course, we shouldn't apply that to others. We shouldn't think, oh, let me be his friend, I will chastise him. No, no, don't be a friend like that, really. It's better that you don't. Of course, there is exceptions. Generally, in my experience, at least from my realizations that I'm having now, it's difficult not to do it, at least if I speak for myself. Try not to do it. And if somebody else does it to you, you should think, oh, this is my friend. He's chastising me. He's helping me. Anyway, whatever helps you to go through the storm, just try to... Prabhupada says mutual cooperation. So mutual cooperation means that I cooperate with you. Not that you also cooperate with me. And that is your business. If you do that, it's fine. Not that I'm saying to you, you also have to cooperate with me. That is not the idea of... Because then it keeps going. Mutual cooperation means I will just try to cooperate with you. That is the way, that is the spiritual life. That is what I was also trying to explain. That in the spiritual world, everybody is trying to be the servant. And in the material world, everybody is trying to be number one. So we need to... stop that conditioning. The Vedic culture is like that, and there's still something left. Like I remember the Eskimos, they had this kind of down. They knew that if you give to someone, then you're not the loser. Because when we give to someone, we think that we need to get it back, and we've lost something. But they didn't think like that. They thought, if I give you something, then it's good for me. And that is actually the Vedic culture. That's why people sometimes refuse gifts, because they know they get indebted. And it's a very big insult to refuse a gift. Like in the Arab countries, you refuse. If somebody asks you to go for dinner or he gives you something, it's a very big insult. This is actually Vedic culture. Because they know you will be indebted to them. And if you refuse it, that means that you're not indebted to them. So it is a great insult. So we just have to trust Krishna. And if we accept it and we use it for Krishna, then we'll not be indebted. Because that is what this verse is about, that Krishna will protect us. So that anyway, that is the Vedic culture that we give. And this is the spiritual culture. The more you give, the more you get back. Unfortunately, if I speak again for myself, I don't really believe it. I know it's true. But practically in my life, I can see that I don't fully yet believe this. And of course, Prabhupada is pure devotee, and it's kind of a lila. He showed us that he was also doing this job. And he said, I'm going to be rich for Krishna, and then I'm going to use the money for Krishna. And then later, he said, please don't do like me. Don't waste your time. Just surrender to Krishna. Just surrender. And Krishna will provide all the money in the world. Look at me. I've got millions. Everywhere I go, some big car is waiting for me. And Rolls Royces will pick him up from the airport with police escorts. So if we preach, then all the money will come. Or in other words, if we surrender to Krishna, if we do what Krishna wants, then all he will give us all facilities. It needs a leap of faith to do this. And you can see many of the Swamis, they have this. Because sometimes we get, at least again if I speak for myself, get a little envious. Especially in the past, I used to be very critical. They got so much money and this and that. The thing is, they get so much money because they are surrendered. And people feel that and they give them the money. And generally, they use it in Krishna's service. So that is the idea. Because they're so surrendered, then Krishna provides them with material opulence. So it's something I'm struggling with in my life, and therefore it's nice that I get this opportunity to basically preach to myself. So that's something we need to have that faith, that if we just give to devotees and are nice to devotees, that it will come back to us. And you can read hundreds and thousands of New Age books, and it is filled with this philosophy. So the thing is, it's kind of a little bit a wishy-washy philosophy. However, if we use it in Krishna consciousness, it's very powerful. Like, for instance, they say positive thinking. We have of course, we also think negative. The whole Prabhupada says there's nothing positive about the material world. There's only negative. So we also have negative thinking. However, everything for us is positive. We are here now with Krishna. I mean, sometimes they say, I made it, right? You've got these Americans, businessmen, I got a boat, I got a nice wife, I made it. We made it. We're sitting here in a castle. Krishna is getting dressed now. He's getting prepared for the last evening bhajan. We made it, Prabhu. Well, all we have to do is stick around. However, it seems that it is a little difficult. So try to understand this, that you just work per hour, doesn't matter. Just try to stick around. You go this way or that way, doesn't matter much. You're already here. We are already arrived. We're already there. There is nothing to do. So purification. And if we stay here, we'll get purified. We just need to stay. It might not go fast enough for us, but I took a little bit of a kind of a break. And after 3 years, I came back and I saw that all the devotees that I knew, they all made so much advancement. And even I, even though I was a little bit, I was still chanting and following principles, even I, devotees could see that I was more relaxed and a little bit more humble and more balanced. So it works. It's very powerful, but it goes very slow. Okay, I think I'll just stop there. Oh, it's already over time. You have any question or comment? Yeah? Yeah, you can call quickly. I think they're a little bit late. Oh. Yeah. It's sometimes a little bit difficult because we are devotees and we're really absorbed in the transcendental thing, and it's sometimes a little bit difficult to make it separate. Sometimes we also think that we are transcendental, and maybe we're not so transcendental as we think. Generally, when somebody honors you, then it's related to the body. And not so much to the soul, like I'm a man, brahmachari. That's all body. This is called Varnashram. It's material, actually. The soul is something else. We don't know what it is. So honor or dishonor, it's... And you can see with Jesus or Haridas Thakur, they weren't bothered by any externals. He wasn't bothered by Mayadevi, then he was beaten, he wasn't bothered by that. Because he wasn't identifying with the body. Takes some time, you know. Yeah, I also do it. The answer is no. Yeah, I also did it just a few days ago. Some guest came and I was preaching. No, it's better to just be nice to people. Prabhupada says this movement started with the Sunday feast. Prabhupada conquered people with the Sunday feast. And he was lecturing. After lecture, he was very kind to people. Very understanding. So better to first establish nice relationships. And again, also people that join, they're actually also on our level. They are joining and they will take initiation from your guru or the brother of your guru, is God. So they're on equal level actually. So we have to be very careful. It's just unmanifested yet. So somebody might just join and in 10 years he might become a sannyasi. You don't know. So, yeah, better not. And you can just explain humbly, but don't get carried away. Just take it easy. Okay, last question. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Krishna just fulfills all the desires. The thing is with the devotee, he keeps them poor because he knows they will get into Maya. And if the devotee is not pure, he will keep them poor. However, when the devotee surrenders, and other people, Krishna just fulfills their desires. And it will not be, sometimes it's not good for them. But because they keep bothering the super soul and they are working very hard, and then they just get it. It's like a machine. You know, you put your hand in the fire, you burn. So with the devotee, it's a little different. So once the devotee surrenders, then Krishna sees, oh, now he's using it for Krishna. So now I can give it to him. Of course, with the devotee, sometimes it also doesn't work out because the devotee is actually, he wants to go to Maya. So it's tricky. Be careful. Don't think, oh, I'm getting money, now I'm very advanced. That as soon as you think I'm very advanced, finished. Okay, I better stop now. Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot the time. Okay, thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Jai. Hare Krishna. Samvet Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Right. Well, I mean, you just have to come in. I forgot the time, and then
I was late.
I see. Well, she was also a little late, and then when she came in, I thought, oh.
So,
yeah, I know.
We forgive you. Gora?
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda.